Well, good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. It's great to hear from you. And I speak for myself, but I know that I speak for everyone when I say what a blessing it has been so far to be here and to be a part of worship, to be a part of just together on purpose singing songs of praise and the blessing it is to be led by such an able worship leader and to be led by such able men who are able to stand up here and just to direct our minds in our communion. And Howard, thank you very much for those thoughts. And this morning, as we continue our series in Philippians, I'm going to ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. There we're going to start in verse 3, and we're going to read down through verse 11. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me. And notice on the back of our worship bulletin this morning, not only do we just have space for you to write notes, but I've given you my part of my outline, and so you'll be able to just kind of fill in the blanks, and hopefully that'll be a good tool to have, and hopefully that will be a way to keep up with things that are going on and where I'm at. But the one good thing, this will be a roadmap, my preaching mentors tell me that it's real important for people to see that, can see the progression of a sermon, because it gives you hope that this thing's going to end at some point. So I'm learning how to do this little by little. But this morning in Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, we read, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God." As we read through this, it's important to see that the overall theme that Paul is dealing with, the overall theme that we're going to be talking about as we strive for Christ's likeness, is that gratitude and affirmation in a relationship is part of learning to think like Christ. As we are individuals who are constantly wanting to be more and more like Christ, as we're striving to model this behavior, as we're teaching, as we're calling people to the Lord, it's important to affirm one another and to be grateful. And our purpose is that we are to model and to teach and to call the church to think like Jesus, to be more and more Christ-like. It's not good enough just to be good people. It isn't our call to be good citizens. It's our call to be Christ-like. So in everything that we do, we look into, what is it like to be like Christ? Not only in the way that we act and the things that we do and the things that we don't do, but more important than that, it's how we interact with one another. In the relationships that we have, are we grateful for the relationships that we have with one another? Or do we affirm those relationships? Do we affirm the people in that? Do we let them know what a blessing it is to be with them? What a blessing it is to not only to know them, but to share this life and this walk and this journey, to share the struggles, to share the burdens, to share the good times and the bad, to affirm one another and to be grateful. That's Christ-likeness. Our Lord was big on relationships. He was big on calling people to Him and sharing the life and sharing the ministry and telling them when He was grateful for them, letting them know how much He loved them. You ever been in a relationship with someone? You ever had a relationship where it just felt like someone was never satisfied? They just were never satisfied with anything that you did, anything that you said, and maybe they had good intentions. Maybe they thought they were teaching. Maybe it was a parent or a spouse or a teacher or a coach. Maybe it was a preacher who just, he never had anything good to say. And you just wonder, do you like anything about me? Is there anything that I do right? Now you know, in trying to teach and in trying to mold and trying to show people a better way, I know a lot of times we can get that way, where it just seems like all we're doing is pointing out the faults or the negative, pointing out the issues or the problems, instead of being grateful and affirming. You ever been in a relationship like that? It's not much fun, is it? It's not very satisfying. It's not very rewarding. And rarely does an individual grow. Rarely does an individual get better at being a person, get better at life. Rarely do they accept the advice or the teaching from someone like that. As we strive to be more and more like Christ, the goal this morning is to be grateful and to affirm one another in our relationships. There's ways that we can be thankful. There's ways that we can be grateful and affirm one another and affirm the relationships that we have. We're going to go through these five things very quickly. The first thing that he talks about in this verse, in verse 3, is, I thank my God every time I remember you. Just remembrance alone is a way to affirm a relationship and to be grateful in a relationship. And there's ways that we do this. I love the wording that he uses here. I thank my God every time I remember you. He didn't say, I thank my God every time I think about you. There's not a haphazardness. There's not a happen chance kind of feel to this. Remembrance is on purpose. It has a reason. You know, I don't know about everybody here, but I have a hard time. And when the burst of laughter that you hear will be two people, my wife and the shepherds. I have a hard time remembering things I'm supposed to do. You notice those were the people I said that were laughing. I have to write stuff down. And then sometimes I forget where I put the stuff I wrote, the list that I wrote down. But for me to remember something, it's a task. I mean, it's a goal of mine. And to remember what I have to do, to remember things that are important. And so when he says, I thank my God every time I remember you, it's the idea of on purpose. It isn't just a fleeting thought that just happened. Oh, okay, that was neat. Thank you for just, it's on purpose. Paul is telling us, he's modeling for us in the affirmation of relationships, is that this is, it's a job. It's something that we do on purpose. You know, you guys look at me and I got my suit on and my tie, just kind of like every Sunday or most Sundays. But this is a very important tie to me. This tie is shows up in one of these pictures, which, by the way, I'm going to get to that in a minute. But this tie always makes me think of Sarah and Matt Beal. The first couple that I ever performed a wedding ceremony for. And we were talking before during the Bible studies and the marriage counseling that we had before that. And after we got through talking about, you know, being a godly wife and being a godly husband and what that looks like and how that feels and sounds, we got to talking about the important things like what color was going to be, you know, the wedding was going to be and the flowers and all that kind of thing. And Sarah said, I've got something for you. And she handed me this, this package, and in it was this tie. And she said, we would really like it if you wore, you know, I know you're going to have on a black suit and a white shirt, but wear this tie. And I said, well, thank you. She said, because that's going to match everything. Okay. She had gone through on purpose and bought this tie for me to wear. And every time I would wear it to preach after their wedding, I like that tie. And it was, you know, it was kind of a connection. And one of the things that I started doing is getting my picture. You know, we have all these pictures taken, and I tell them, I want a picture with me and you and, you know, of the couple, and y'all get that and pick out a frame, and I want you to give that to me. I'll do your wedding for free. I never charge anybody, just whatever, you know, but I want you to get a picture, and I want you to give it. You pick out the frame because it'll be you, and I'm going to put that in my office. And this isn't all of them, because some people say, yeah, we're going to do that. I never see it, but that's okay. Hint, nudge, nudge. There's a picture out there somewhere, and it's all coming together right now. But and I think about them, and I remember them, and I remember the times that we've shared, and what Paul is talking about, that very thing is remembering the events of life, remembering the times we've shared. The bond that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, it's very special and it's very important, and we have to spend time together. We have to invest in one another. We have to do things together in order to have things to remember. Our God was, Jesus was big about this. What did he say in Luke chapter 22 and verse 19 at the Passover? He says, do this in remembrance of me. Luke's the only gospel who records that quote. All the other ones, Matthew and Mark, and John doesn't even talk about it, but Matthew and Mark, just they talk about other things, but they never quote Jesus as saying, do this in remembrance of me. You know where Paul got that? He got that from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 24. Or Luke got that from Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 and 24. Because Paul says the very same thing. You see, if Paul knew nothing else, he knew the heart of Christ, and he knew that Jesus was huge on remember the times when Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. He wasn't just talking about my broken body on the cross. He was telling his brothers, guys, remember the times we had. Remember the ministry that we went through. Remember the good. Remember the bad. Remember those things. Because that's encouraging. That's big about life. It helps us. In times of sorrow, remember the happy times. In times of goodness, remember that it's not always like this. But more than anything else, remember. Paul is teaching them, guys, I remember you. I remember the times. The next thing he goes on in verses 5 through 4 and 5. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of our partnership in the gospel. Because. He says, I remember you because. I remember you. Not because of anything else, but our partnership in the gospel. Real quick, we're holding up on one thing. We move past. Okay. Well, that's fine. We can move past that. Partnership. He's saying the most important thing of anything that I'm talking to you about is the gospel of Christ. There's no reason. There's nothing that lasts like the gospel of Christ. There's nothing that binds us together like the gospel of Christ. And he talks about this as a partnership. You see, Paul doesn't say, I thank my God every time I remember you because of your belief. I thank my God every time I remember you because you're partaking in the gospel. He says, I thank my God every time I on purpose remember you because of our partnership. There's an equality. There is an equality there that tells me something about Paul is that, you know what? Paul was a great main character in his story. You know, Paul could have said a lot of things. He could have lorded his position over a lot of people. His understanding, his power, his grace, all those things. Paul could have set himself above everyone that he talked to, but he didn't do it. He was a great main character because he understood it's all about humility. And knowing that we're partners in this. As a preacher, I want people to understand more than anything else is that I am just like everyone else. There's nothing inherently special about me. I just get to talk on Sunday morning and talk about the struggle that we are going through together. I get to talk about what God wants all of us to know and to understand and what I get encouragement from seeing you living the gospel in front of me. There's a partnership in this. Paul understood that. He understood that they were equals. He goes on to talk about, in verse 6, he says, I thank my God because of the partnership in the gospel, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion. Paul is excited for these people. He's encouraging to them. He's excited because of the work that was started and the progression that he sees. He's encouraging them in the growth that they're experiencing. He understands this is a process. And it's hard to see a lot of times. You know, any time that you start something, any time that there's anything, you know, there's anything new in life or anything that is a progression, it's important to be encouraged along the way as that process unfolds. You know, we're not good at everything we do right off the bat. We're not good at performing the tasks that we're given the very first time or the very second time or even, you know, years later. We grow in this life. And how many times have you been in the middle of something that you're trying to complete and you should know better, you should be better at it, but you find yourself struggling or even failing? instead of hearing, you know what, you should be better at this. Instead of hearing all of the things that you're doing wrong, all of the ways that you could be doing it better, wouldn't it be great to say, to hear, you know what, I am confident that God, who is working in you, is bringing you along. And even though things aren't going so well right now, look at how far you've come. You guys know I am absolutely head over heels in love with my kids and impressed with everything that they do. And my youngest son right now is playing coach pitch baseball. There he is in all of his finery and game day glory. And, you know, sometimes it's disappointing when we strike out or when we get thrown out going to first. But you know what's exciting? You know what's exciting is being able to look back at the first of the year when it was real hard to even hit a thrown baseball. And now, almost every time, we don't get on base every time, but almost every time up, we make contact with the baseball and hit it out of the infield most of the time. You know, and at the beginning of the year, when we couldn't catch really good, now we're catching it almost every time the ball is thrown. And oh yeah, there aren't home runs over the fence. There's not a lot of round trippers. There's not a lot of, you know, plays at the plate where, you know, it's all, but man, what progress has been made. And even though we have announcements to make, such as we're all proud of Jake Crabtree hitting his, you know, his first and second regular season home run, you know, last week and the week before, and RJ Moore hitting one out of the park. What was it, last night, night before last? I mean, those guys, but do you remember this time right here? You know, Daryl sitting back, yeah, I remember those times when in coach pitch or T-ball when it wasn't all homers and great plays at the plate. But there's a progression. And the one thing that I want to tell my son now is that even though there's times of disappointment, man, look how far you've come. Look at the fun that you're having and look at the progress that you've made. And I'm confident that as we continue to practice and as we continue to play and as the game gets a grip on your heart, it will get better and better. That's what Paul is telling us in our relationships with one another. It's easy to say, look what you did today. This wasn't any good. But what we need to be focused on is, man, you're getting so much better. You're so much better than you were. What a great affirming way to share this life. He moves on in this passage and he says, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. This is the power behind it all. This is God's grace is the thing. And here's the humility, the partnership again. You know, Paul isn't saying it's right for me to feel this way because you guys, you know, God's grace is upon you and he can now make you as good like I am and everything's great. Paul knew where he has come from. He understands that, you know what, God is working in me and we're sharing in this grace. The grace that binds us together. The grace that is the great equalizer among us. Grace is the fuel that starts this journey. It's the fuel that continues us on our way. Grace is the fuel that keeps us going. And it's the glue in the relationship. Because you know what he's teaching us right here? He's modeling for us is that, you know what? In relationships, people are going to disappoint us. In relationships, people are not always going to do and say and be what we want them to do and say and be. And there's going to be times when it's just, we're not clicking, we're not meshing, we're not getting along. And sometimes there's times when we're not getting along and they just won't stop doing what it is they're doing. Paul says, we're sharing in this grace. We're sharing in this grace, in this glue that holds us together. Even though we are like forces trying to tear this relationship apart, God's grace holds us together. It equalizes, washes away all of our sin, all of our iniquity. It allows me to see you as God sees you, perfect, spotless, without blemish, frustration-free. Do we see one another that way? Or do we focus on the issues that cause the friction? He says, we're sharing in this grace. Him bringing this in right now at the beginning of this letter in the context of it that we'll get to, he's saying, this is keeping our eye on the ball. Keeping our eye on the ball. We're sharing in God's grace. That is the main thing, the crux of the matter, whatever church book you're reading at the time. That's where all those titles come from. This is it. God's grace is the main thing. Regardless of circumstances, we share in God's grace. And that's enough. The question quickly becomes, is that enough for each one of us? See, that was enough for Paul. That was enough for this guy. That's what he's saying. It's like, not everything, and we'll get to this, not everything in Philippi was roses and apple pie or whatever, hummus pie, whatever they would eat then. Not everything was great. Not everything was wonderful. They're dealing with a lot of friction. They're dealing with a lot of problems and relationship issues. And Paul is saying that even though circumstances are what they are, God's grace is enough for me to accept you and to love you and to thank God every time I remember you. The question is that enough for us? As we sit in this room with each other, is God's grace enough for us to overlook everything else? To say, regardless of what you're doing, regardless of what you said to me, and regardless of what you didn't say, regardless of what you did or forgot, regardless of that, God's grace is enough for me to be grateful for you and to affirm us in this relationship. It's a test of discipleship. It's one thing to be religious and to be churchy, but a test of discipleship is when relationships are involved, is God's grace enough? And then the last thing he points out, did you notice a subtle, very subtle thing he says all throughout the whole verse, all throughout the whole passage? He says it in verse 8, and he says, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. In my Bible, I've gone and I've circled every time in verse 3 through 11, he says all. Four times. Five times. Maybe four. For all of you. No one left out. There's no one too low. There's no one too high. There's no one too good. There's no one too bad. There's no one who is too rich or too poor. There's no one who is too one race or too another. There's nothing that excludes any of the people of Christ that doesn't qualify them in the relationship with Paul to be thankful to God for his remembrance, to be in partnership in the gospel, to see God working in their life, to know that they share in the grace that is God's free gift to us. It includes everyone. It's all inclusive. There's no one left out. And he ends this section with, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful prayers. It's not a prayer that gets a lot of press. It's not on that many t-shirts. His prayer later on in Philippians and also in Ephesians is big. It's billboard material. But he says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. Not that you can discern, not that you can pick up on, not that you can pay attention to all the little things, all the lesser things, all the annoying things, all the relationship breaking things, but that you can discern what is best, what is good, what is precious, what is holy, what is right. Think on these things, he would tell us in another book. So my prayer is for you. I am modeling this for you, but my prayer is for you to get together with one another and to discern what is best, and that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise. He's saying, I want you to get to the place I just described. See, he loves them like that. He's trying to open their eyes and say, love each other. Love each other like that. Enjoy. Don't take for granted the presence of someone else. Don't take for granted the being in the room time of someone else, because it's precious. He wants them to love like that in the good. He wants them to love like that in the bad. He wants them to love like that when they're easy to love. And like Christ, like the perfect example that we have, He wants them to love like that when it's not so easy, when it's not so good. Because this is how God loves each one of us. This is how God loves all of us. And He's calling us to love the same way. He's calling us to be grateful for the blessing and the gift that is one another. He's calling us to affirm one another this way. Just take a moment and, you know, clear your head of every thought you got if you can. Maybe just look down at the chair in front of you or close your eyes. If everyone at Highland Hills and every church across this county in this country, if everyone affirmed and was grateful and loved like Paul just modeled and called us to love, would it change the face of the church? Would it change the action of the church? Would it change the work? And more importantly, would it change the size? Would that kind of people right there repel or draw others? Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all unto myself. This morning, I want us to be a church that's grateful and affirming in the relationships that we have, in the personal relationships with one another. Can we start modeling that kind of behavior? Can we continue in the things we do well and pick up on those that we need help in and be grateful? Remember the time. Spend time together. Be partners in this gospel and share in His grace. Because God does love us all. He has died for us all. He has redeemed us all. And He is calling every one of us to be those kind of Christians. Grateful and affirming. The invitation is yours as together we stand and as we sing.